is 2017-2120, Jones v. Wilkie. Ms. Gentile? Gentile, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the Court. VA violated its duty to assist by failing to obtain its own records. When the Veterans Court affirmed the Board's decision, it made two fatal errors of law. First, the Veterans Court held that an informal claim cannot be initiated at VHA when this finding has no basis in law. And second, the Veterans Court unlawfully found that the unobtained...
The government has requested to remand already, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're opposed to that?
Yes, Your Honor. We tried to work out a few different remand scenarios, but unfortunately we were not able to come to an agreement.
What's the sticking point there?
The sticking point was that none of the remand or voluntary termination agreements would have involved vacating the lower court's decision. And the lower court's decision would have, because of the Veterans Court's holding that informal claims cannot be initiated at VHA, the contents of the unobtained records wouldn't have mattered because that would have been a bar to any of those records being considered an informal claim. So, Your Honors, the second fatal error of law that the Veterans Court made was that it unlawfully found that the unobtained VA treatment records are not relevant when this court has held that they are as a matter of law. We urge the court to vacate and remand this appeal so that VA can adjudicate Mr. Jones' appeal in accordance with the law. In doing, we urge that the court hold that first, VA treatment records are relevant, and the duty to assist by retrieving those records applies in this case because a claim may be initiated at the Veterans Health Administration.
Do we need to resolve the question of where in the VA an informal claim must be filed?
No, Your Honor, because...
I suppose we could just say that, you know, first of all, everybody agrees that this case should be sent back. And number two, perhaps under our law and the applicable regulations, the duty to assist was not fulfilled here, because all medical records needed to be produced and considered and evaluated before, you know, considering whether there was an informal claim. And then that would be it.
That would be it, Your Honor, as long as the remand allowed for the understanding that that informal claims or formal claims may be initiated at VHA, and the date of that claim, the date of receipt at VHA, would serve as the effective date for that claim. And the Secretary actually correctly noted in his brief at the court that if a formal claim were received at VHA, that the date of the receipt at VHA would serve as the effective date for the purposes of the effective date of...
Where in their brief did they say that?
That was at page 34, Your Honor.
Okay.
If that was in discussion with a formal claim. So VA has already conceded that a formal claim received at VHA will be considered received at VHA at the time of receipt at VHA. There's no reason why an informal claim should have an additional barrier. And that accords with VA's regulations already. 38 CFR 3.1R notes that the date of receipt means the date on which a claim, information, or evidence was received in the Department of Veterans Affairs. And then 1.9B1 states that VA means all organizational units of the Department of Veterans Affairs. So there are already regulations unifying all of the units or all of the different sections of the Departments of Veterans Affairs, meaning that receipt at one, the VHA, it would mean receipt at the other, the VBA. Receipt is a unifying term.
So if a claimant submitted a written communication claiming benefits, but not on the form for a formal claim, and delivered that to the IT department of the VA, or the custodian department of the VA, in your view, would that be enough to constitute an informal claim?
Yes, Your Honor, it would, assuming that the contents of the informal claim met the requirements of an informal claim. They had the necessary intent. But that is why, actually, even on a formal claim, the veteran is only, or a claimant is only instructed to submit to the nearest VA office.
I'm just trying to figure out, how would that ever get to the right person in the VA such that it could be really true notice to the VA that they have this particular vet or claimant's informal claim on hand for them to now know they're on the clock and they need to evaluate and consider it if it's sitting, this written communication sitting in the custodian department?
I mean, if this custodian's, I don't know where this particular custodian department would be located, but In this hypothetical, the receipt at VA.
Think of the most strange, peculiar group within VA that would have no business handling, veteran disability benefits.
Sure, Your Honor. I will, as a practical matter, scenarios like this already take place. There are only 58 benefits offices in the country, which means that veterans live hundreds of miles away from benefits offices. They do, however, go to VA treatment centers, and they're located in domiciliaries often throughout the entire country, which are much more dispersed, and they're much more close to veterans' homes and within traveling distance. So veterans do very often come to non-veterans benefits offices with claims, both formal and informal. This is already a process. And what happens is there is once an informal claim has been filed, it triggers VA's duty, once it receives information of that claim, to send a formal benefits form. And the reason that that comes, a formal benefits claim form, the reason that for that particular formal form is that there are software at VA, when that's scanned, it is automatically input into the veterans benefits system. And then
just curious, is there anything anywhere, maybe the VA manual, that sort of explains how the VA will handle an informal claim that's received somewhere other than the Veterans Benefits Administration?
There must be, Your Honor, because there was already at the time Mr. Jones, that these facts arose from Mr. Jones, that a VHA record could itself constitute an informal claim, and that was under 3.157.
That what could?
It could constitute an informal.
What could constitute an informal claim?
A VHA record. Could be a VA treatment record, could be a record just that happens to be held at VHA.
What regulation was that, you said?
3.157B1, report of examination or hospitalization as a claim for increase or to reopen. That, of course, is as a claim for increase or to reopen, which Mr. Jones was not making. He was actually making an initial claim. But in this case, to answer your question, yes, there are already pathways in motion. There must be something in the training manual, the M21, as far as how those automatically, without some kind of triggering mechanism or anything like that, constitute an informal claim.
Did you raise that argument to the Veterans Court below?
Yes, Your Honor, we did, and we did on brief here as well. So for these reasons, a claim can be initiated at VHA. And the Veterans Court erred as a matter of law when it found that unobtained VA treatment records don't constitute a communication in writing that could be deemed received by the benefits section of VA. Now, for example, these records contain mental health treatment records. Mental health treatment records tend to be very detailed, and they're very narrative in style. They're not like orthopedic treatment notes that just mention ROM and degrees of motion or something like that. They tend to mention group therapy, and they talk about social worker notes. So these records about mental health treatment tend to be very detailed. Now, this analysis applies to treatment records in and outside the world of mental health treatment, but these VHA records in particular, from in Mr. Jones' case, have a decent chance of containing an informal claim or evidence of a formal claim or informal claim.
Well, just so I understand, it's unlikely that we would find in the medical records some written document from Mr. Jones himself saying, I've been having these terrible symptoms and they were induced during my service and I'm not able to hold a job ever since then. I mean, there won't be something like that in the medical records, right?
There could be, but
it's unlikely.
It's unlikely, but that doesn't mean zero, and they are relevant on their face anyway. So
I just want to understand, is it your theory that there's another way that there could be an informal claim?
Yes,
it's something that the doctor, him or herself, writes in the medical records, not something that the patient actually submits.
Yes, for example, the records could have a notation that Mr. Jones brought with him today a completed claims form, or Mr. Jones is talking to me in an effort to get to file a claim for service connection, or Mr. Jones states that he's here to file a claim right now for his mental health condition.
Is it enough for the veteran simply to say, treat it? The doctor says, I believe that you may have this, PTSD or something. Is it enough for the veteran to say, go ahead and treat it? I want to see a mental health counselor or something. Is that an informal claim?
Probably not, Your Honor. It would, the intent to file is probably the showing of intent.
It's got to be something in writing, correct?
Well, it has to be something in writing, but it doesn't necessarily
have to come from the veteran?
No, it does not have to come from the veteran, Your Honor. It can come from the veteran's representative.
Or the physician's notes.
It can be generated from the physician's notes. That is possible, depending upon the content of those notes.
If the physician says in the notes, veteran wishes to continue treatment for PTSD, is that enough for an informal claim?
No, I don't believe so, Your Honor. I don't believe that alone would be enough. So we urge this court to hold, first, that the unobtained VA treatment records are relevant as a matter of law, and second, that informal claims or formal claims can be initiated at the Veterans Health Administration.
Just before you go away, there is some requirement in the duty to assist there, that maybe there isn't a duty to produce something if there's no reasonable possibility that it could assist in a claim.
Yes, Your Honor.
So how does that reconcile with your view that as a matter of law, any and all medical records, even irrelevant medical records, need to be produced?
The no reasonable possibility statement can be taken either as a statement of relevance or a statement of prejudice. So if it's relevance, we have to presume relevance under Moore as a matter of law and under McGee, and also 3.159 instructs us that relevance isn't the appropriate inquiry when looking into VA treatment records. If it is a prejudice inquiry instead, then we've just talked about scenarios where, yes, it's possible that these records could contain these type of statements that qualify, these type of written communications that qualify as an informal claim. So there is a reasonable possibility. We were just discussing those reasonable possibilities. And for that reason, the Veterans Court erred when it made that determination of law.
Okay, thank you. Let's hear from the government. Tell me how to say your name, sir.
Iarossi.
Mr. Iarossi, please proceed.
Thank you, and may it please the court. Your Honors, this case should be remanded. I think everyone here agrees that it should be remanded. The reason why it should be remanded is because the treatment medical records were not put into the RBA before the Veterans Court, and that procedural error deprived the Veterans Court of its ability to rule on a complete and accurate
record. I think we should or need to resolve the question of what part of the VA an informal claim needs to be submitted to?
Absolutely not. I think that this court is not in the business of issuing advisory opinions, and what the appellant here was really asking for is an advisory opinion on if these records actually contained an informal claim, what next steps would need to happen. And I think that the issue of whether they were brought forth at the VHA in a hospital versus the Veterans Benefit Administration is not something this court needs.
Wouldn't that go to the intent of the veteran? The intent to file for disability is it's an element of an informal claim. Where the veteran drops off this claim be part of the intent element?
To be clear, I'm not suggesting that where a veteran may attempt to submit an informal claim has no bearing on the relevance or the question of whether the veteran intended to submit an informal claim, but rather simply that's one of at least two or three different questions and issues that this court doesn't need to resolve in order to get the veteran the opportunity she now has to make a proper argument based on a complete record at the Veterans Court.
Well, let me just try to understand the government's view. If, in fact, Mr. Jones submitted a written communication to his doctor that the doctor retained in the medical records, and that written communication said, I've had terrible PTSD-like symptoms for a long time, and I think I am entitled to some kind of benefit in light of this PTSD that was induced by my military service. Is it the government's view that that would be enough to be an informal claim?
Well, we explicitly note in a brief at page 37 that it is possible, it's conceivable that a veteran could walk into a VA medical center, perhaps be filling out a treatment form or a questionnaire, and say, I've had terrible headaches and I think I may have PTSD. I bet you it's because of my service in the Mideast. I think I'm entitled to disability. Write down a note, hand it to the VA. We're not...
To the doctor.
To the doctor. And we're not arguing that something like that could conceivably constitute an informal claim. Of course, there's nothing in the record that even suggests anything like that took place here. In fact, the medical records, as we pointed out.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand, because are you saying that what I'm hearing you say, it sounds a little different than what I saw the Veterans Court saying?
Well, I think that what the Veterans Court's focus here is or was on the question of whether there was a reasonable possibility of these medical records assisting the veteran. So, you know, what happened here is important to remember. Mrs. Jones appealed the board's decision and argued that the VA failed.
Am I misremembering or misunderstanding the Veterans Court? I thought the Veterans Court was saying submitting something to the Veterans Health Administration is never going to be an informal claim. You have to submit it to the Veterans Benefits Administration. Is that what the Veterans Court said?
There were three things that the Veterans Court said that were all related. The first of which was going to the question of whether there was a reasonable chance of these medical records aiding the veteran in substantiating his claim. And if there was no reasonable chance, then there would not have been a failure by the VA in its duty to assist. After that discussion, the Veterans Court then said, well, even if it could be shown that the medical records could have contained, even if there could have been an informal claim embedded in the medical records, then Mrs. Jones has failed to provide any authority for either of the propositions that informal claim had to found its way to the VBA, to the Veterans Benefit Administration, and it had to constitute a communication in writing. So there are three main parts to the
court. So is the answer to my question yes? The Veterans Court's conception of what is a proper informal claim requires the informal claim to be submitted to the Veterans Benefits Administration and cannot satisfy the informal claim requirements if it is submitted to the Veterans Health Administration.
I think that's right, Your Honor. That the Veterans Court, it seems to suggest.
You're saying actually there is some daylight where an informal claim could conceivably be filed with the Veterans Health Administration.
That's right, and we explicitly admit that in our brief at page 37. We recognize that it's entirely possible that would be the case. That could be a scenario where a veteran could submit an informal claim. In this case, as I mentioned, there's no suggestion of that, no hint of that whatsoever. And I think that the more important point in terms of looking at what the Veterans Court did here is the Veterans Court was, when Mrs. Jones appealed, it was her burden to prove that the Board of Veterans Appeals erred in failing to get the medical records. And what the Veterans Court did was say, has Mrs. Jones demonstrated a reasonable chance, a reasonable possibility of these medical records, even assuming that they were never obtained by the VA, has she demonstrated that there was a reasonable chance of an informal claim appearing in those medical records? And based on the record, the Veterans Court said no, because Mr. Jones himself explicitly admitted, he said he never alleged that he ever expressed an intent to file a claim to his VA doctors in 2000 or 2001. He stated he never made a decision whether to file a claim or not because he was never given the information about the details of his medical condition. These are all at appendix pages 2 and 3.
But you have a veteran here with mental health problems. The fact that he said, you know, gosh, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know I could decide to file a claim. That doesn't mean there couldn't still be an informal claim filed, does it? I mean, if he walked in to the doctor and said, and the doctor said to him, you have mental health problems, and he said, this is from my time in service, I want to get benefits for this. I'm really struggling. I can't work or whatever. If he said all these things to the doctor, couldn't that constitute an informal claim?
I think based on what you just described, no, it wouldn't, because it has to be an intent to apply for benefits.
He just said, I want benefits for this. I can't work. I'm out of work because of this mental health problem. I want benefits. I want the VA to pay for this because this happened because of my time in service. What if he reported all of that to the doctor? Couldn't that constitute an informal claim? It's an intent. It seems to me to be evidencing an intent to seek benefits.
I'm not sure that it would satisfy the communication in writing part of...
What if the doctor wrote it down? Exactly. Veteran just told me he intends to seek... What if the doctor wrote into the notes, veteran is seeking benefits for PTSD? What if the doctor wrote that down in the treatment notes? Veteran has reported to me that he is seeking benefits for PTSD.
To be clear, Your Honor, I'll answer your question in just a moment. I want to reiterate, I think that, that this entire line of questioning is not necessary to resolve this issue. But in that case, I think the problem with saying we're going to create informal claims based on all of these hypothetical, as you mentioned, is that what we're doing is we're foisting an additional irrelevant benefits burden onto these medical professionals, the doctors and nurses who are seeing the veterans who are trying to treat their conditions are now going to be under...
Wait, time out. You're worried about the stress or the hassle it might cause a doctor to have to report it? This guy's got PTSD because he was bagging bodies in a war. You're worried about the stress the doctor might have to suffer because a veteran has reported a claim to him, a veteran whose job it was to body, take dead bodies and put them in bags and ship them home? You're worried about
Absolutely.
The administrative hassle it might cause
No.
as opposed to getting this guy benefits?
No, Your Honor, absolutely not. What I'm worried about is getting the veteran the proper and effective and complete medical treatment that he deserves. And that issue is, that medical question, that medical treatment issue is for the doctors and nurses. So I'm not worried about the doctor having to file or potentially create more paperwork. I'm worried about distracting the medical professionals from their focus is on the question of the veteran's
Wait, you're worried
conditions.
That if he files a claim with them, it'll distract them from giving him proper treatment? And so therefore, we shouldn't treat these things as claims by the veteran because they might distract the doctor?
Your Honor, I think that having doctors be concerned about anything other than the veteran's medical condition is suboptimal. That's what I'm trying to say. Again, I think that this issue of whether it needs to be filed at the Veterans Health Administration, the Veterans of the VBA or somewhere else is irrelevant because we've already acknowledged that there was a procedural error committed by the VA here, and that we think the Veterans Court should get another fresh look at these issues. And I think that
But you are asking us to give them a fresh look at whether all the records were before the board. But the government in this case stipulated that all the medical records were not in front of them. So as far as I'm concerned, you're bound by that stipulation. So any vacate and remand that I give you is not going to permit the Veterans Court to decide whether they were already looked at because the government said they weren't. It's going to go all the way back for a do-over.
Well,
that's what's going to happen.
I'm not sure what you're talking about in terms of the stipulation. I think that if you're referencing the briefing before the Veterans Court, what happened there was that the VA attorney said the question of whether the medical records are before the board is irrelevant for these particular reasons. So they cite, I think, page maybe I don't remember which page of the briefing that they cited as proof in the appendix for our admission that the medical records are not before the board. The VA said, look, Your Honors, at the Veterans Court, you don't need to look, you don't have to address whether the medical records are there or not because these other reasons show that they could not have served as an informal claim. They could not have substantiated his claim at the board. So in that sense, I think I would differ a little bit about Your Honor's sort of hypothetical there. But ultimately, I think, as you recognize, both parties agree that this needs to be remanded. And I think that giving the Veterans Court the ability to, if it decides it needs to remand to the board to make sure that all the records are there, that's understandable. But issuing an opinion on all of these other raised issues is nothing more than advisory opinions. I don't think this court needs to do that. So nothing further. I'll yield the rest of my time.
You have some rebuttal time. Please proceed. I assume you're not worried about whatever stress it might cause the doctors or how they might be distracted.
No, Your Honor, that is not a concern that we're bringing to the court today. Unless the court has any questions the court would like to address, we're prepared to.
Thank you. All right, we thank both counsel. The case is taken under submission.